Lieutenant Sweezer, there's a flash priority message. Cobalt encryption.
Esme Sweezer's mind had drifted, as it did often these days, to Baron.
Oh, right. Well, keep a link to the Ansible, and I'll get the captain.
The last priority message had been medical, directing them to relieve senior NCOs with rejuve of duty. But they had none aboard. Maybe this one would be useful. What she wanted was a message from Baron, preferably with a friendly reaction from his family. Being on two different ships really hampered communication. She hoped they could meet in person for a few days. Captain Solis knew she was due leave. He had already said she could take the time off, but she'd heard nothing so far. Captain Solis, never talkative this early in first shift, became even more still after the encrypted message had gone to his console. Esme glanced over.
Sir?
I said nothing, Lieutenant. Lord Thornbuckle is dead. Assassinated. Presumably, it's the new Texas militia in retaliation for our execution of their rangers.
A pause, during which Esme did her best not to ask the question that hammered at her mind.
Lieutenant, you can count on all leaves being canceled. I'm sorry. There are some things more urgent than a wedding.
It won't hurt to do the paperwork.
Solis gave her a long look.
Good idea. Then if you get the chance... But in the meantime, I want a threat assessment. Get started on that while I make the announcement to the crew. Attention all hands! Attention all hands! This is the captain. I have this moment received an encrypted message from Fleet Headquarters. I regret to inform all of you that Speaker of the Grand Council, Lord Thornbuckle, is dead. Assassinated on Castle Rock. We will now observe 1 minute of silence and respect for the Speaker of the Grand Council.
Silence dragged on. Longer than a minute, it felt like. Esme wondered how Brunn was holding up. She had not had time to recover from her captivity, and already she had lost her father. Esme murmured prayers she had not thought of in years.
Memorandum to the Chief of Personnel from the Chief Medical Services. Urgent you refer all enlisted personnel who received rejuvenation treatment within the past 10 years to medical immediately. Make no exceptions. If necessary, refer in order of rejuvenation.
Admiral Vita Serrano, now securely in command of Sector 7, scanned the memorandum, very aware of the tension in Master Chief Valdos's shoulders. She herself had forwarded the concerns of Baron and Captain Escobar about mental deterioration in senior enlisted personnel under the tightest security. She had followed the subsequent medical investigation, but the details eluded her. Rejuvenation neurobiology was not her field. She needed to be briefed on it, and so far, despite several increasingly firm requests to Fleet Headquarters, no such briefing had taken place.
How can I reassure Valdos and others under my command without the information I need? What will happen if I can't?
Get me the heads of personnel and medical. We have a situation I don't fully understand, and I want to be sure we handle this with both discretion and fairness.
Sir, if the Admiral permits...
Go ahead.
Is it true they're looking for ways to bump out senior NCOs? An excuse not to offer any more rejuvenations?
Just the kind of ideas she did not want floating around.
In my opinion, Chief, and it's only my opinion, but I do have some data. This may have to do with medical problems from a bad batch of rejuve drugs.
Problems?
Yes. I'm not going to blacken anyone's name because I don't know all the facts. I'm not a medical officer. I do know that investigation of something else revealed a source of contaminated rejuve drugs, and there was concern that they might have made it into our supply chain. Meanwhile, several senior NCOs began showing neurological symptoms within a few months to a year of each other, widely separated in their duty stations, and not all in the same branch.
Could they have given us bad drugs? To justify later refusal to rejuve?
On purpose?
Valdos nodded.
Oh, absolutely not. If that's what happened, I suspect it is a simple mistake. Or if not,
an enemy wished to deprive us of our most valuable senior NCOs in order to make a strike easier.
I hope you're right, sir.
He went out, shaking his head. She hoped she was right, too, and that he believed her. If the NCOs started worrying about whether they had been given bad drugs intentionally, the close-knit community of Fleet could unravel with fatal speed. On a cold, windy day in local autumn, the prisoners of Stack Island's military prison on Copper Mountain were drawn up in ranks to witness another change of command ceremony from behind barriers of both steel and invisible force shields. In front of it, in the small enclosed parade ground, all but a few of the guards were also in formation, uneasily aware of the prisoners' gazes fixed on their backs. No matter that a force shield lay between them, nothing protected them from the malevolence. Up in front, Josep Tolan relinquished his command to Pilar Bakarian with relief. He had not enjoyed any moment of his stay in that exile from his former sphere of power, and he had to agree to take early retirement to get out of it. Pilar, though, he would be very glad to put the width of the big ocean and later some deep space between himself and one of the few women who had ever been close to Admiral Lupescu. On her part, Commander Pilar Bakarian felt an almost physical surge of pleasure in the tension on Tolan's face. He not only disliked her, he was afraid of her. He should be. They all should be, and they would be in time. She smiled at Tolan, letting him see that she recognized his fear, and saw the glisten of sweat on his forehead even in the cold. Then she released him from her gaze and turned it instead on her subordinates. They did not flinch. She had not thought they would. Their gaze challenged her, the first female commander this prison had ever had. Was she tough enough, their gaze asked? Could she do the job? Others, whose identities she already knew, had no doubts about her toughness. They were well aware that Lupescu had been her mentor, that she had supported his agenda. Carefully disguised in her duffel were slivers of the ears she had taken. When it had become imprudent to keep these proofs of her status, she had sliced them thin herself and found hiding places for them. She had hunted, in the oldest hunt of all. She had killed. She had survived the hunt on Cerealis, having left to take command of a ship before the game ended with Lupescu dead and Harris Serrano once more in favor with Fleet Brass. But no one knew it. They were all dead, and the prisoners she'd hunted had never seen her face. Her luck was strong, and her skills... She would match her skills against Serrano directly someday. She knew she would win. She looked past the guards, past the force screen, to the prisoners in their drab ranks. In there, she also had potential allies.
In time.
Tolan left at last in the air car. Pilar wished him a nasty storm on the way to the mainland, but it didn't really matter. Let him live, and let him realize someday just what he'd seen in their brief exchange. The ceremony over, Pilar summoned her staff. They were unwise enough to look surprised. She allowed herself a tight smile on the way to her office, thinking how soon they would learn what she was like. On the mainland, at main base, autumn had not yet modulated a brutally hot summer. It had been a dry year, and now fine reddish dust turned the sky dirty brown as the wind lifted it high into the atmosphere. In this kind of weather, everyone who could get off base privileges spent hours in Q-Town's bars, drinking whatever was coldest. Even combat veterans accepted the crowd in their favorite watering hole. It was too hot and too miserable to complain. Margue Pardalt, newly graduated from the academy and the only Xavierine in her class, had a habit of coming tops in her classes. She had to. She had to do something to make up for her sister Mazu, killed by raiders years ago. Mazu had been the family genius. Brilliant, brave, everything a family could hope for. Margue was second best, and knew it. A poor replacement for the fallen hero. so it was up to her to make her mark, to be Mazyu's memorial. Her place in the Academy had been a gift from the Familius in memory of Mazyu. Her place in the universe was to be her gift in return. She had earned an evening's liberty by coming first in her class yet again at Copper Mountain, and she thought it fitting that her free hours came at a time when no rational person could enjoy them. She'd have stayed in her quarters, but her training CO had told her to get off the base, and orders were orders. Another gust of wind streamed down Q-Town's main street and filled her nose with hot stinging dust, and her eyes watered. It reminded her too much of the benignity scorch of Xavier, when she and her family had wrapped torn sheets around their heads for weeks to filter the dust and ash. Ahead on the right, she spotted a doorway just opening as someone came out, and a gush of cooler air brushed her side. She turned into it. It was only moderately crowded, less crowded than the two bars she'd glanced into and left, and smelled of food as much as drink. Margu made her way to one of the open booths and slid in, then looked around. The tables and seats looked a little strange, until she realized they were meant to look like ship parts. No, they were ship parts. Her quick glance took in the long, dark bar, obviously hull material. The models, obviously military vessels. The battle honors hung on the walls. The photographs. It was a shrine, then. Margu felt obscurely comforted and lowered her head to pray for the dead and the survivors alike. Her family were Cinerines. She had learned the right forms for valediction and commemoration from early childhood.
Do you need help?
Margu looked up to find herself face to face with a man in a float chair.
No, sir. I was honoring the dead.
His brows rose, crinkling the skin around the scars on his bald scalp.
You knew about this place?
No, sir. But it's obvious.
May I have the honor of your name?
Ensign Paradolt, from Xavier.
He looked her over carefully.
Ah, Xavier. You were at the Academy when the...
No, sir. I was home. On Xavier, I mean.
Margu knew already that to Fleet personnel, Fleet was home. And the planet of origin was just that, the planet of origin.
And you survived the benignity. Your family as well?
Most of them.
You're welcome here anytime, Ensign. You've earned it.
But she hadn't earned anything. Not yet. The way she saw it, everything she had, Mazyu had earned. Still, she was not going to contradict someone like this, a combat veteran.
Thank you.
She hoped she'd read the signals right.
May I offer you a drink?
She saw a reaction, but she wasn't sure what.
As it is your first time in my establishment, I hope you'll honor me by accepting one.
She dipped her head.
I would be honored.
Then, as he waited, she realized he wanted her to name it. She wasn't used to that, but she glanced at the menu display and chose a dark ale spiced with ginger. When the mug arrived, heavily frosted, it came with a bowl of raw vegetable sticks on shaved ice.
If you like spiced ales, I thought you might like these.
Margu nibbled one. It had a refreshing bite. He sipped his own drink, watching her over the rim. She found it disconcerting.
We had Lieutenant Sweeza in here when she was on a course.
That name she knew, of course. Sweeza had been added to her family's prayers, and she had heard a lot about Sweeza in the Academy and after.
I never met her, but we owe her a lot.
You remind me of her. She's quiet, too.
Oh, she's a real hero. I'm just a very green ensign.
You might surprise yourself.
Margu did fantasize about that sometimes, but she knew it was ridiculous. She could be serious, careful, diligent, prudent. And none of those were heroic virtues, as she understood heroism.